You call education committee, oh, this is not education. Let's put that hat outside. Social services committee to order. And we have three present, so we do have a quorum. Senator Thomas, Senator Passman, Vice Chair, and myself, Senator Davis. We are coming in at 1:35. We have two bills that we're going to move out of the committee. And we have a new bill to be heard. It will come last. The bills that's going to come before us now is Senate Bill number 27. And what's the other bill number? 133.
Is that the one?
Okay, 133 is yours. Let's bring up 133. Is there any comment to be made on 133?
We need, Madam Chair, to bring the committee substitute for 133 before this committee. And I would move that the CS identified as 26-LS0489/S be brought before the committee for purposes of discussion.
We have CS before us. Is there an objection? I will object just for discussion. You have something to say?
No. I think that this is the amendment that's in conformance with what the members were interested in.
For those that are present, would you say what the amendment is, what it does?
Yes, I have Mr. Jake Hamburg from my office that can identify that.
Okay.
For the record, Jake Hamburg, staff to Senator Passman. Thank you, Madam Chair. Also online are Paul Sherry and Rebecca Madison, and then Deputy Commissioner is online as well for questions and testimony. We made three changes that were raised in discussions and in the last hearing. One concern was about the limitation to only designate a nonprofit, so greater flexibility with regard to designating an entity was made to allow the department to pursue alternatives. Especially should the original designated entity neglect its duties or even dissolve.
Refer us to the page and line number?
Page 4, lines 7 through 10. And that new language provides the department with some added flexibility while maintaining the multiple stakeholder representation. And under that new language, the department has the option to designate one entity or a combination of entities to fulfill the purposes of Section 2. And the second concern raised was an unclear description of the department's duties. So Section 1823.305 was added in the CS.
Page 4.
That's on page 4, line 22, through page 5, line 2.
Okay.
And then third, there is a request for more specific member representation to sit on an advisory or governing board for the designated entity, and that can be found on page 4, lines 11 through 21. They provide more specific advisory governing board membership requirements.
Okay.
And so those are the changes in the CS. The privacy protections outlined in the original bill were preserved and unchanged. And that wraps up the changes in the CS.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I will remove my objection for the purpose of amendment to move 133 out of committee.
I would then, Senator Thomas, sir.
Sure, thank you. I move that the CS for Senate Bill 27 version /E, is that the one we're?
133. And while you're looking for that, let's also say that Paul Sherry is on the phone. Are you there, Paul, just for questions, or do you have to need to make a statement? Paul Sherry? Paul Sherry?
Yes, hello, Senator. Thank you. I'd just like to make a brief comment or two.
You may.
Thank you. since the hearing last on this, we did work with the department on clarifying these roles and the provision for the stakeholder involvement. We appreciate what we understand is, you know, the department's readiness to move forward with this. We would urge the legislature and the department both to move expeditiously to take advantage of stimulus funds available in this area. And we continue to urge the department to work closely with the Alaska eHealth Network that's really put a couple of years advanced work into this process, and we're really ready to move this whole effort forward in a collaborative relationship with the department. So I think those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, and I also like to say that there are some people from departments is here, Sherwood and Lessman. Bill Sturr, are you here in the room, or are you not here? He's online. Are you just there for questions?
I am prepared, Dan. I'm prepared to make a statement if it's appropriate.
You may.
Thank you. For the record, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Bill Sturr, Deputy Commissioner for Medicaid and Healthcare Policy for the Department of Health and Social Services. I'm pleased to be able to comment on the CS for Senate Bill 133. As already stated, the department supports movement toward electronic health records, health information exchanges, and health information technology in general. We know that it's the future of healthcare in the state of Alaska. The stimulus bill provides a rare opportunity for us to receive significant financial assistance from the federal government, but we have to follow certain rules and guidelines for the money. We have worked very closely with the bill sponsor and others in the community to ensure we have the latitude to do so. We remain concerned with the distribution of downstream costs, but believe that they can be fairly distributed through work and as the program develops. The CS has addressed our concerns, and the department supports this bill. That's my testimony, Madam Chairman. Thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments to be made by the committee? No.
No.
Hearing none, then we'll come back to the bill, and I'm ready for a motion. If
I'm on the right page, I was looking at the agenda. That's where I got the first one up. Anyhow, if we have the right version here, I move that CS for Senate Bill 133, version /S.
Correct.
Be moved from the committee with the individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Any objection? No objection, so move. We'll just take a minute to sign the document so we can move to the next bill. And while we're doing that, is 101 that need to come up, not 27 next. 27 is the one that we have to take public hearing on, right?
No, it's a
101
it's
is
a
the
they've all been previously heard.
101 is the one that I asked the We have Mr. Overmyer there. 101 is the Students' Questionnaire and Survey Bill. If you just give a brief explanation of that so that we can refresh everyone's memories what it is.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Tom Overmyer, aide to Senator Davis. Senate Bill 101 is the act relating to questionnaires and surveys administered in the public schools. And you may recall from the previous hearing that the that this bill addresses specifically the youth at risk or youth risk survey that is administered in the schools throughout the state and for the nation at that for that part. We in Alaska have had arrangement where the instead of having passive consent, as most states do, we're one of three or four states that have what they call active consent, where you actually have to send a notice to the parent and then get their signed permission to administer the survey. The change in this bill is simply to ask that it be passive consent so that the survey could be administered without parental consent, but not without parental notice, with adequate notice at least 2 weeks in advance, with an opportunity to review the survey. If they wish then at that point to deny permission, they simply write on a form that's provided a notice to the school that they do not offer permission for their child to take that survey. In addition, we had another safeguard for those people who, those students sitting at the exam or the survey that did not want to answer specific questions. We amended in section 3 on page 2 that a student may refuse to answer specific questions or participate in the questionnaire or survey at the public school. So it there are a number of options to allow students not to participate, but this the purpose of this is to allow the state to have adequate information for the health and social service people and the school districts in this state to know what the matters are that relate to the significant causes of mortality and morbidity during youth and adulthood in Alaska. The survey involves such things as tobacco, alcohol, drug abuse, sexual behavior, diet, nutrition, and exercise. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
And would you tell them the test that we are trying to make sure that we get the 70% that we haven't been able to get in past years? Risk behavior survey?
Yes, this youth or risk behavior survey, they call it the YRBS. The state must have 60% participation by the students in order for this to be considered a validated test by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and our state has not achieved that in about three out of the last four surveys administered in the last 10 years. For that reason, and the primary reason, interestingly, is that we had this active parental consent that has been a problem. And yet we always give the parents notice anyway to object if they wish. And so it was decided that in the interest of the health and education in the state to participate and know what's going on in the state of Alaska among the youth, that if we change it to what they call passive consent, just ask the parent, give the parents notice. If they don't want the child to participate, just to sign off on it and return it to the school, that would be adequate. And then the student themselves, if they elect not to answer questions or participate, they can make also that determination on their own. But we achieved 50-some percent in the I think the 2005 survey that was thrown out, and there was a tremendous amount of expense wasted, time wasted in the school, and so this should help alleviate that problem.
This bill has been supported by almost all the nonprofits that use this data that comes from the survey, the school districts and many others. It was heard in education. Now we're hearing here, and I think we've had it vetted pretty well. We could move this out of this committee if I could get a, it's the same bill that was before, so all we need is a motion to move it.
Madam Chair, I would move that we move Senate Bill 101 from this committee with individual recommendations and a task fiscal note.
Are there any objections to that? Hear no objections, so move, and we will move this out of House Committee. And Senator Thomas has to leave us, but we are going to take public testimony on the one outstanding bill that we have. We'll just take a brief at ease. I'd like for Mr. Overmyer to give us an overview of Senate Bill 27. And we'll see if we have any public testimony after he's done.
Is the CS for Senate Bill before us?
It is. It's the same bill that...
Yes, I just wanted to make sure.
Is this... am I right on that, Mr. Overmyer?
Through the chair, yes. Senator Davis, we should have the e-version in front of us. It's the CS for Senate Bill 27, drafted on March the 5th.
So it has not been adopted?
It has been adopted, as I recall, but we did. It hasn't been, of course, fully vetted or moved out of committee yet. But we're working off that draft today.
So you may go on. I think it's been adopted.
For the record, I'm Tom Overmyer, aide to Senator Davis. The bill before you is the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 27. The EE is an echo version on March 5th. This is an act relating to tuition waivers for a child who was in out-of-home care, relating to out-of-home care for a child, amending the definition of child in certain statutes, and relating to out-of-home care transition to independent living. This bill provides waivers of tuition and fees combined with other assistance to help foster or out-of-home care children enjoy the opportunity and benefits of a higher education afforded to others. Recognizing the severe educational disadvantages of persons placed in foster or out-of-home care, many states have initiated a variety of college tuition waiver and scholarship programs for these persons. The University of Alaska at this time only has tuition waivers for 10 students statewide who were in foster care on their 18th birthday, but the need for more is much greater. Data in 2006 indicated there were over 2,000 children in foster care in Alaska at any one time. Over 5,000 live in out-of-home care with relatives who are in subsidized guardianship programs. The average stay in foster care in Alaska was 25 months, but only 40% of children had two or fewer placements. The constant moving around in foster care and the lack of continued assistance has impaired the education of most students in foster care, and this program is designed to help remedy some of those problems. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I will mention that the term out-of-home care has been replaced throughout the bill to replace the term foster care because there are so many students that have been placed with relatives under the guardianship program.
And that is the difference between the original bill and the CS only change?
Yes, that's one of the main changes.
So I don't really think we need to have to walk through the bill, but we could do that. I want to first find out if there's anybody online to testify or anybody in the audience to testify to Senate Bill 27. I don't have any names in front of me.
There's one gentleman here that would like to.
You may come up. Mr. Lesman, you just give us your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Pasban. For the record, my name is Mike Lesman. I'm the Community Relations Manager and Legislative Contact for the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Office of Children's Services. Thank you for allowing me this time here today. Senate Bill 27 is a piece of legislation that the department sees great merit in. It's got the potential to help kids who are exiting the foster care system, as well as those that may need to stay another year in the department's care. Madam Chair and Senator Pasban, the department's position on Senate Bill 27 is one of a neutral position, and I'd like to explain why. You are likely aware of the most recent Federal Child and Family Services review that the Office of Children's Services just finished up with. We agree with our federal partners that a lot of the most urgent work for us to do is on the front end of the foster care system. It surrounds the safety of children, the timeliness of investigations, the proper assessments of safety and risk. It has to do with keeping kids in their homes. If it's possible to do that safely, we'd rather not remove them. If we must remove them, there's work to do to reunify them with their parents and their families as quickly as is possible. One of the key ingredients of all that work that the feds have recognized and we know ourselves is getting to all the home visits that our staff need to do. So with the intent of focusing on the front end of the system, we believe there's benefits, correspondingly positive benefits to the back end of the foster care system, that less and less youth will have the challenges that they have as they exit care. And right now, Madam Chair, the Office of Children's Services is focusing its resources and its attention on safety in the front end of the system.
All right.
Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions? I don't have a question. I thank you for your testimony. This bill has a ways to go, but it is a start, and I agree that we do want to keep our children at home when we can, and I am interested in that you do work towards the front end, but this is also going to help you if a bill like this should pass. And we do have another bill that have all these components within it, but I have a 27 and a 28 that takes care of part of it. This one part about the home, these children having education privileges, is important. Even though I know we're doing it for 10 students, we need to do it for many, many more, because many of the youngsters that would like to go to school don't have any help and don't have parents to help them. So if the state doesn't make some kind of arrangement to help move them forward into the education era, they will be around there years and years trying to find out what to do with themselves and how to do it, where to go. Housing, education, all those things are so important. And I know the state can't do it all, but we can do our share and get other people to join in. So I appreciate the fact that you know that this is an important piece of legislation and that you're willing to work with us to help us get the best bill that we can. So I encourage the department, the division, to follow the bills, make suggestions on things that might improve it. Things that you think would be harmful to you, I don't think there's anything that would be harmful, but there might be some things that don't fit into your way of thinking that we could discuss it and see if we could come around to an agreement. Because these bills are going to be here for another year. If they don't pass this year, they're still good when we come back in January. And so we hope that we'll be able to come up with a full package by the end of the 2 years. If it should be the big bill with all of it in there, housing, education, and also transportation for the children when they're in school to make sure they go to the school of origin once they go into foster care. That's what the federal rules say that we're supposed to provide. They don't always give enough money for us to do it. It might have to be state money to supplement that. But some school districts are working hard to implement that. And so I appreciate you coming before us today. Is there anyone else in the audience that wants to testify? Is there anyone online? Hearing none, we're going to close public testimony at this time, and we'll bring this bill back at a later time. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to adjourn at 2 o'clock.